on radio, streaming live on investtalk.com, and for our podcast subscribers. This is InvestTalk, above average investing for the average investor. InvestTalk is made possible by KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm serving clients throughout the United States. And now, KPP Financial President, Financial Advisor Steve Peasley.
Good afternoon, everybody, and today is Tuesday, July 28, 2015, and you're listening to InvestTalk. And we're here to answer every day your questions. I'd also like to pass along some information, that's what we do, that you might not otherwise come across, to give you some perspective on the stock market, the economy, investing, managing your money, that kind of thing in general. I know that we have a broad cross-section of individuals out there listening to us, those who have been investing for some time and are pretty good at it and don't really need much of my help. And then there's the other end of the spectrum where people are just getting started. So maybe we just recently taken an interest in preparing their retirement, and now as they get started, they're not sure what to do. So the whole spectrum is out there, and I try to adjust the show as best I can to answer all those kinds of needs. In many cases, it's not until people reach 50 years old that they really get serious about retirement. Have you noticed that? People, when you have some reason that 50-year-old mark is like, oh, I'm not full of pep and vinegar anymore, and I got to think about my retirement. There's a sense that you're behind when you get about 50 years old. Many people have that sense. Are you in that situation? You have much less time when you hit 50. You got to make the best of it. You really got to get on the ball. Some people make mistakes by becoming too aggressive because they're too far behind, so they start to take chances. Some people are way too conservative. They don't take enough chances. It's always a balancing act. And how do you know if you're taking too much or too little? And that's hard to understand, too. It is never easy. It really isn't. You know, people think, oh, just go buy some good stocks and they'll be fine. I wish it worked that way. I really did. What's a good stock? See, it's not that easy. And you don't know how much risk you want to take. And, of course, you could take that free risk analysis at our website, Riskalyze, we call it. It takes 3 to 5 minutes to answer a few questions. It's not very difficult. And it gives you a risk score. It's at investtalk.com. You can take a look at it. And that score can relate to the stock market and your portfolio. A risk score of 80 is what the S&P 500 risk is, 80. So if you have a portfolio, and I can put it in on my side, you can't do it on your side. You send me your portfolio, I put it in, and I'll figure out what the system will figure out the score of your portfolio. And then you relate that to the score of your personal risk. Because your personal risk has nothing to do with the stock market. It has something to do with gains and losses. Are you comfortable with this much gain or that much loss? Then another question, similar. You know, until you kind of narrow down how much risk are you willing to take versus how much loss are you willing to handle. And that's how it tries to do it. It's Nobel Prize winning software. So it's really pretty good. You know, nothing's ever perfect. Nothing. Nothing's perfect. But it gives you a good handle. You guys could take a look at it. It's free. Yeah. So, let's talk about your money concerns today. Are you trying to play catch up with your retirement planning? If you are, do you think you are? We're live 4 to 5 Pacific time. Our number is 888-99-CHART. Let's take a question right now from our 24-hour listener line.
Could you explain that forward is key? We always talk about it in your show, and how do you get that? I try to get it through Schwab, or I couldn't really find it. And how do you determine, who determines the forward is PE, and how do you price the stock accordingly? Thanks so much.
I think he's saying forward PE. Forward PE. Well, what that is, you know, think about the price to earnings ratio, the price of the stock compared to its earnings. Now, the price of stock is always what is today's price of the stock, okay? Well, if the earnings are the last 12 months, well, you know what that is, right? You know what the earnings were the last 12 months because the company reports it. So that PE is very obvious. That PE is X. Forward PE is to take the earnings estimates. How much are they estimated to earn next year? That's the forward PE. And let's say they're going to earn $2 a share and the stock is selling for $20, then that means that's a forward PE of 10. You see, so you're looking at the earnings estimates next year. And that's nothing but a guesstimate. It could be totally wrong. It could be over or under what really comes in. They don't know. But we got to start somewhere. And the stock market trades on what the forward PE is expected to be. The stocks trade forward. Because remember, all of us professionals, everybody's looking to see, that we are all looking for the bargains, and we're looking to see, well, what's next year's earnings going to be? Last year's earnings is in the books. We don't care about that. So the only reason why we'd care is we're looking for the growth rate. How fast is the company growing? So that's what forward PE is. Forward PE. 6 steps to 401k success. That's one of our main talking points today. 6 steps for 401k success. You know, I talk about it all the time. Retirement accounts, IRAs, 401ks. You know why? Because it's so very, very important for everybody. We really need to focus on that stuff. Other talking points. Where are bond yields going? Bond yields, the treasury, 30-year treasury. Is it going up, down, sideways? And what are other 30-year treasuries for other countries doing? What will influence it? Talk about that. How much money, another thing I want to talk about, how much money do you need to save to reach $1 million by age 65? Now, there's assumptions that I'm going to have to make here. And I'm going to give you how much money you have to save when you're 20, how much money you have to make, 25, 30 years old, 40 years old, 45, how much per month do you need to save with a return of annual return of 12%, which is pretty aggressive. And I'm going to talk about that. And finally, do you see the durable goods report? I don't know. I don't think Justin talked about it yesterday. Durable goods report came in for June. I want to talk about that. Pending home sales come out tomorrow. And today we had consumer confidence numbers. There's not a lot of economic information coming out this week. But I think, I've said this before, I do like looking at that durable goods report, even though it is not a leading economic indicator. A leading economic indicator is like the weekly unemployment claims, which have been going down sharply for a while. So that tells you that unemployment looks is getting better. The employment picture is looking better. Unemployment is dropping. But I do like durable goods. You know why? It's because I like to see what corporations are doing. Durable goods are those things that last 3 years or longer. And so those are the things I'm going to talk about during the hour. If you want to talk about something different, well, that means you got to call. Talk to me. We finally had a bounce up today after numerous days of downward movement. The S&P, I'm sorry, I always start with the Dow. The Dow was up 190 points. The NASDAQ was up 49 points. And the S&P was up 25 points. Now, of course, that doesn't make up for the 5 down days. Didn't even make up half of that. But it did help today. We'll see if we have a follow-through tomorrow. And why did the market happen to be up today? Well, because China, again, stabilized. Remember we talked about this a couple weeks ago. I said that the Chinese market fell 30%, and the Chinese government took 40 different steps to try to save their market. And I mentioned that, that's probably not going to work because it just, it's not a good idea to do that. And then yesterday was down, China's markets were down, 8% one day. Now, don't get too excited. 8% one day is a lot, but our market's gone down 20% in one day, 1987, October 1st. So, now, also, I noticed that there's how we have curbs in our market? Chinese have curbs in their market. Any stock goes down 10% in a day, the trading is halted. So, they try to present that. So, today it kind of stabilized a little bit. China is pouring tons of money into the market. They're actually buying shares to try to support the market. I think that's very unwise. But, they're new to this. They think they can control it. Pretty hard to control a free market. Now, they don't have really a free market at this point. But, the more you try to manipulate it, the more distorted it becomes, the harder it is to do. Take a look at our new Discipline Equity program from KPP Financial. It's new. It's called Discipline Equity. It targets focused growth for maximum returns. It's always invested on the long side aggressively. So that's what this is all about, trying to be in the market, trying to beat the S&P 500 on the upside, not necessarily protect the assets on the downside, being more aggressive. You can see more about it on investtalk.com or send me a note with your questions about it. I'll talk to you. Contact Steve on investtalk.com. He'll get me an email. Check in now with your questions about dividend-paying investments. I love dividend-paying investments. I think long-term, they're always going to be good. And any other money matter you want to talk about, 888-99-CHART.
Hey, Steve and Justin, Chris from Louisville. Listen to you guys on the podcast. Wanted to see if it's a good buy point for the company Skyworks Solutions, SWKS. Let's get into Skyworks Solutions, SWKS. Thanks for all you all do.
Skyworks Solutions, Inc. is out of Wilburn, Massachusetts. Manufactures analog mixed signal ICS amplifiers, attenuators, detectors, diodes, couplers, mixers, those kinds of things. Okay, so it's tech, and it's really growing nicely. Sales growth has last quarter it only grew 38%. I say that because the quarter before that was 58. The quarter before that was 59. And so the most recent quarter was 38, the June quarter of this year, and the stock went down. Now, see, this is what I'm talking about when you talk about high-growth stocks. It's still growing very good. It's an $18 billion company. It's grown 38% in sales. But the expectations for it is to continue to be very good. They want 50, 60% growth. That's what expectations are. It only came in with 38% growth. It's going to make $5.24 this year. That's 60% higher than last year. And $6.19 next year. That's another 18% increase. And that makes the stock at $95 a share about a 15 PE, which is not overpriced. It's not. Return on equity is very good at 27. It's a very solid growing company. But it probably got ahead of itself. So what you need to do is let it come down. It looks like the area that it's in, right around $93, 92 to 93, looks like good, strong support. Then the next support level comes in right in the mid-80s. So I want you to wait. This looks like a good buy point. It was up $2.19 today, so that's a little over 2%. But it was down from 104 down to 93 in the last 2 days before that. 104 down to 93. So we have to wait till it settles down, settles. And this might be where it will, but this is a good buy point, but give it a few days. Let's see what happens. Don't get too excited about buying it here yet. But it's a good, solid company. It's one of those companies I see no reason why you wouldn't want to own it. And it's not that expensive. That's a good thing. They don't have any debt. Management only owns 1%, but mutual funds are strong buyers in the last year. And that's Skyworks, SWKS, everybody. If you're an InvestTalk Insider, you can select from our library of webinars that you can play at your convenience whenever you feel like it. You get lists of stocks, so watch lists of things that we like. You can get from our most recent webinar about global investing. You can see that. We just put that up. Sign up for free. Doesn't cost you a thing. I'm not asking a lot of information. You can sign up for free on investtalk.com. And now I want you to chime in with your question or your comment or your strategy or your complaint about the market, about the economy, whatever you think. 888-99-CHART.
Now is a good time to call InvestTalk. What's your question? 888-99-CHART is how to reach InvestTalk right now. Thanks again for subscribing to our podcast. A sparkling record accounts for part of the recent popularity of index funds as investors love to chase past returns. But look closer, evaluating the added cost of actively managed mutual funds. That's our talking point for Wednesday's podcast. We hope you'll join us then.
888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. What's on your mind? What do you want to talk about? Well, I think we should talk about retirement. We always talk about retirement, and I know you're probably bored with it, but it's important. We need to talk about it. So what are some of strategies? Okay, first, let's talk about your 401k retirement, where many of us have a 401k. There are plan options in that 401k. You can buy different things. Remember, a 401k is just a basket called your retirement account. What's in that basket are the assets that you buy, and generally speaking, most 401ks give you a choices of a handful of mutual funds. Okay, so those are your options. What are those mutual funds that you can buy with the money in your 401k? The money you're putting aside, and your employer may match it or not, put the money in the basket, then you can decide to buy. Now, many 401ks are set up where there is a default, where if you don't decide to buy something, you automatically put in something. But you have control. You need to take control. Understand those options and decide which ones you want for your goals. So that's what you need to do. Number one, take a look at your options. Number two, allocate what you want appropriately. Don't dump all the money. Oh, I have plan options. I'll buy my own company stock 100%. That is not appropriate, okay? That is kind of very risky. I don't care how big or good your company is. Doesn't matter. So make sure, number three, limit your company exposure. Allocate appropriately is number two. Number three is limit your own company stock exposure. A lot of people don't do that. Now, you could get lucky and it just works out great, and I hope it does. I want it to. But it's not good management of your money. It really isn't. And then once you have this allocation and you're just going along a year, 2 years down the road, don't just ignore what's happening in your 401k. Every so often you need to reallocate tactically. What if you bought five different funds and one fund triples while the others just go up slowly? Now you have this huge overbalanced in one asset class. That's not good either over long terms. That generally what happens, that asset class will come screaming down while another asset class will scream up. It's kind of, over long periods of time, there's just kind of natural consequences. So that's why you want to reallocate tactically every so often. Consider tax consequences. There's not any tax consequences, really, in a 401k or an IRA. But if you're planning retirement and you're using money because you're putting extra money and you can't put more money in your 401k, so you're using an extra and putting it in an account, understand your tax consequences when you're buying investments. Okay, now when you get to retirement, make sure you balance your needs for income with your need for some growth. Many people think they don't need growth anymore in retirement, when in actuality you do. Retire at 65 if you do, which I'm not suggesting, but if you do, you're going to live till you're 90. That's a lot of years for that money to last, so you need some growth. So let's go to David in San Jose. How you doing, David?
Hey, Steve. I had a question about Medivation Pharmaceuticals.
Okay.
I wanted to see what you thought was a good entry point. And also, if you knew what was going on with them. They were up to an all-time high not too many weeks ago, and they've kind of come crashing back down. So I'll take your actions off the air. Thank you.
Okay. Appreciate the call. Let's take a look at it. MDVN, Medivation, Inc., it's an $8.2 billion company developing novel small molecule drugs for the treatment of multiple stages of advanced prostate cancer. So it's pretty focused, okay? One of the big problems they're having is last year they made $3.37 a share. This year they're only going to make $1.60. And then next year they're going to make $4.25. So it's very, very erratic, very volatile. Has some debt, more debt than you like to be comfortable with. The P.E. ratio is 28, but at $104 with a $4.25 estimate, okay, that P.E. is going to be a little less than that, not much. But had very good return on equity. And probably why recently has been selling off is sales in the previous three quarters. For 2014, sales were growing about 100%+ per quarter. The first quarter of this year, it grew only 48%. So if you look at it, you notice that the first quarter, after the first quarter those numbers came out, the stock started to sell off. You say, wait a minute, because of the people starting to worry about the growth. Notice that growth of 48% is still very good, but it's not 100%. Not 100%. And now what we're seeing is biotech starting to give back some of those great returns they've had in the last year or so. So you're seeing the whole sector. What you're seeing is some sector rotation. Nothing wrong with this company at all. This company in particular is starting to slow its growth, but it's still growing and still making money. It's just probably a normal, going to pull back to a certain level that the market feels is more appropriate for 40% growth as opposed to 100% growth. And so that might be a 20 PE. Okay, so that means the stock is probably going to be worth about $80 to $90. That's probably what we're seeing in its start. It's at 104 today, from 140 down to 104. So that's what's happening. This is InvestTalk, where you get straight talk about your money. 888-992-4278. Our first priority is always to answer your questions. So let's pick up a call that came in before today's program on our 24-hour listener line, 888-992-4278.
Hi, this is Mike from Concord. I listen to you on podcasts. I love your show. I was calling to get your opinion on a company, AOS as in Sam. I was just calling to see what you think and what a good buy point would be. And I also really like the five-year PE average statistic that you give. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Okay, the five-year PE average of this one is Smith AO Corporation. Smith is between 13 and 37. This is a manufacturer of water heating equipment for various residential and commercial markets worldwide. It's a $6 billion company, so it's not small. They're going to make $3.08 a share this year after making $2.43 last year, so that's up 27%, and then $3.52 next year, which is up another 14%. Current PE is 26, okay? $70 stock, make $3.52 next year. That means the PE is going to be 20. In the five-year range, 13 to 37, so it's kind of right in the middle. Return on equity is 16%, which is pretty good. We like that. I like to see 17% higher, but 16 is close enough for me. Management owns 2%, not very much debt. Sales growth is growing 8 to 12% per quarter, every quarter. Pretty consistent. Pays a little dividend, 1.1. So it's a good, solid company. You wanted an entry point. The entry point is right around, the best point that I see right now, short term, is right around $64.50. $64.50. Today is at $70. That's the best entry point coming down to that. It got down there. It was just there this month. A couple days fall, then bounced right back up. Below that, you're now looking at around, so between 62 and 64 would be ideal, I think. Will you get it there? Well, if the market corrects, you will. This is not a cheap stock. I mean, it's not. It's future PE is 20, so the lower range is 13. So, 13 would be, more like $40, $45, $50, $40 to $50 a share. But, the market has to fall for that to happen, not just this particular stock. Where are bond yields going? The 30-year U.S. Treasury bond yield today is close to 2.5%. Okay? Now, that's not very good if you look at the context of history. But you can't just look at the context of history. Look at the context of where else you're going to get money on a 30-year government bond. Let's talk about United Kingdom. What are they paying on 30 years? Remember, ours 2.5. There's 2.3. How about Canada? There's 1.98. How about Japan? All good, solid countries. They'll pay their debt. Japan, 1.3. Germany, 0.58. 0.5%. Switzerland, 0.43. So if you were looking around and you said, I want some real safe bonds, and where do I go? You'd go up to the United States. You get the highest yield by far. By far. You get the best yield in the United States. So, will the Fed raise rates? Well, they said they're going to raise them. If they're going to raise them, how much? If they raise them, what will that do to our U.S. dollar? It'll make it more valuable, would it not? Wouldn't the dollar go up against foreign currency, other currencies? If our dollar goes up, that means our exports are harder to send out because it costs more money in that foreign currency for them to buy our exports. Will this help or hurt our GDP number? I think it would hurt it. We don't have any inflation. We don't have that stellar of growth in our economy. So the Fed raising rates will probably retard some of that. Does the Fed, think about this, the Fed does not want to raise rates to retard our economy. They don't want to do that. They do want to raise rates to get it off zero. So this is why my supposition is when they do start raising rates, they're probably going to be very, very slow about it. The only reason they would speed it up is to slow down a hot economy or slow down inflation pressure. Do we have inflation pressure on the unemployment side, on the employment side? No. Do we have inflation pressure on goods? Look at how the commodity prices have been crushed. Look at the oil, they've been crushed. There's no inflation pressure there. So is worldwide inflation pressure coming? Well, China is slowing its growth. They're just hoping to stabilize it around 7%. So you can see, just looking at all that information, and say, well, why would the Fed want to raise rates? They don't really want to. They don't really have a reason to. They don't want to slow down the economy. The only reason they want to raise rates is because it's zero. And in the next recession, you can't have zero rates and then try to fight the recession by lowering rates to stimulate the economy. You can't lower the rates. They're too low. They're zero. Can you go negative? Yes, we've seen Europe go negative. You can go negative. The Fed can go negative. You say, well, how can they pay negative rates? Well, they don't. That's not how it works. What they do is they go out. Think about what they did in Europe. Okay, the buyers of the interest rate pays the federal government instead of the federal government paying interest. So the buyers of the bonds pay the government to own the bonds. Well, and then you will say, well, why would anybody ever do that? Well, that's a good question. But sometimes they have to buy the government bonds because of rules and regulations that these entities live under. See, So I just want to give you, our rates are the highest rates in the world, our 30-year treasury rates, of the major economies out there. We are the highest. So that's why it's just kind of backward. It's interesting. It's fun to know, but we're at such an unusual point in our history that no one really knows what's going to happen. And when they tell you they think they know, it's a guess. They don't know. We haven't had this happen before. We're not sure. No one's sure. The Fed's not sure. No one's sure. We want to make the most of the money you've already earned, and you get working harder for it. Okay? The goal, of course, is to be financially independent. Let the money work for you instead of you working for it. And then you retire when you want to retire. So let's work on that together. Check in now at 888-99-CHART. This is InvestTalk.
There's a link to today's talking point, 6 Steps to 401k Success. Just look for the Tuesday, July 28th heading on InvestTalk.com. And now it's time to ask that money question you've been saving up. 888-99-CHART is how to reach us right now.
Okay, it's time for InvestTalk 101. Keep it simple. Good advice for most investors. That's what InvestTalk 101 is about today. Keep it simple. Steve Jobs said, simple can be harder than complex. You have to work hard to get your thinking clean, to make it simple. But it's worth it in the end, because once you get there, you can move mountains. That's Steve Jobs. Of course, he's dead now. You know, he died too young, probably. Keeping it simple can be your best strategy in investing. Example, the folks who trade often focus on irrelevant data points or try to predict the unpredictable. What happens if they run into some unhappy surprises, which often happens? By keeping it simple, focus on companies with economic clear-cut advantage over their competition over the long run, making sure you have a large margin of safety. Morningstar calls it, make sure you have a good solid moat or a large moat that competitors are hard to get over. You want a large moat? I'll give you an example. Coca-Cola, that brand name is hard to, you try to come up with a new brand and try to compete with Coca-Cola. That's hard to do because the brand is so strong. Okay, I can do something different. How about iPhone? You're going to try to compete with iPhone? Well, you can. There are Galaxy, there's others. But a new phone company trying to start up, you have a mountain to try to overcome. A mountain. And you're going to have a heck of a time. And a cost. Try starting a new car company. Look at the new car company that I think actually will work eventually is Tesla. But look how many billions of dollars it takes to compete in the car business. Those are moats. Okay? So watch for your moats of your companies, and you want clear-cut advantages, strong moats. Keep it simple. And more likely, if you do, you'll increase your chances of success. That's InvestTalk 101. Is there a topic you want to know more about? Get in touch. We're here, right here. You can tell me right now, 888-99-CHART, or write me a note by clicking on Contact Steve or contact Justin on InvestTalk.com.
Another information source to help you improve your investing skills and gain you some stress-relieving perspective is our KPP Premium newsletter. It comes out each Friday, and one of the most popular features is our Stock Watch. At least a couple of companies are introduced to you to watch in each edition. To sign up, just go to investtalk.com today.
888-99-CHART. Let's go to Art in Menlo Park. How you doing, Art?
Hi, Steve. How are you today?
I'm good. Thanks for the call.
Oh, great. I just had a question on, I'm trying to kind of like help out a friend of mine's son. Uh-huh. And they want to open up, I'm having them open up like either a Roth IRA or a regular IRA.
Uh-huh.
And I'm just wondering, because I guess one of your topics today is how much you need like per year. Yeah. To make $1 million or something.
How old are they? How old are they?
Pardon me?
How old are they, Art?
Be 23 coming up next month, August.
Okay, she needs to save between $60 and $70 a month, and she'll have $1 million by the time she's 65. If she returns a 12% annual return, which is pretty aggressive, so she's got to be aggressive in the market. Sure.
I have a question on that. Would it be wise to, since they're so young, would it be wise to, purchase, what would probably be considered, undervalued at this point, these energy companies like Chevron with a paid dividend versus a ETF or a mutual fund?
Well, she's awful young to be in a big, boring energy company, but you like to buy the big boring stuff when everybody doesn't like it. And right now, no too many people like big boring oil companies. So I think, this is a good place to be picking up some of those, even if you are young, because you're going to hold on to them forever. And if you hold on to them forever, they'll give you at least, remember they're paying almost 5% dividend all by itself. So what happens if they go up in price? 1% a year. Even if it's just 1% a year, you're going to make 6% a year. Where can you get that?
Yeah.
So, it makes sense. Just not all of her money, Art, because she's too young. You want her to be a little bit more aggressive with some of her money.
Okay.
Okay?
All right.
Thanks for the call.
That's all I need. Thanks a lot, Steve.
Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. So how much money do you need if you want to save $1 million? Well, at age 20, it's 60. This is by age 65. You want $1 million by age 65. By age 20, you need to save $61 a month. Age 25, 109. Age 30, 193. Age 40, 625. Notice the jump there? Age 45, 1,157. Age 50, 2,235. Age 55, 4,000. See how huge it jumps? Because you didn't start young enough and let it compound over time. That's why it's important that you start young. Very important. If you want to save and build a portfolio of retirement account, start young. And if you find a job with a 401k, it's easier and easier to save money when you're young, especially if the employer is helping by giving you some free money, free matching money. But even if they don't, you still need to do it. Don't think you say, well, I don't want to. You do. Also, before we go into break, I want to talk about exchange-traded funds. In particular, we talked about tracking errors by ETFs, and I wanted to try to give an example of tracking. Look at the VIX, the actual volatility index, the VIX. If you look at it on a chart, you can see it usually bottoms out right around 12 or so. Okay, and if you look at a long-term chart, you'll see that. Then look at VXX, which is the ETF that tracks the VIX. You'll see that does not bottom out and go flat like the regular VIX. It continues to go down, yet it's supposed to track the VIX. So there's what's called a tracking error. It does not track perfectly. Therefore, you would say, I'm going to buy the VIX. I'll buy the VXX when the actual volatility index is around 12. And if you would have done that, you'd be losing about 20% so far in the VXX ETF that you could buy that supposedly tracks the VIX. This is is a type of tracking error on these ETFs. So don't, when we talk about them, please be very careful. Tracking errors can hurt you badly. If you think you're doing the right thing and you're saying, well, I'm going to buy it at its low and therefore it always bounces, and it does, but the underlying ETF may not stop going down. It might even go up higher too. It can go the other way. But I want you to be aware of the errors, the tracking errors. I know there's a question you've been saving up. I'm financial advisor Steve Peasley, and you can reach me right now at 888-99-CHART. I'll do my best to answer your questions here on InvestTalk.
Our podcast distribution is made possible each day by KPP Financial. Steve Peasley, President. Don't forget our free risk analysis tool on InvestTalk.com. It may be the best 3-minute investment you've ever made. Just go to investtalk.com and look for the blue box and free risk analysis tool.
InvestTalk is a two-way conversation, but if you have a question between programs, you can still ask, and we'll put it on the next show, on next InvestTalk. We're here for you at 888-99-CHART.
Hi, Steve and Justin. This is Bobby calling from Atlanta, Georgia, podcast listener. I'm calling about Axial Corporation. The symbol is A as in Apple, X as in Xerox, L as Larry, L as Larry. What do you think about it? Is it a good time to buy some, or shall I still wait? Look forward to the answer of the next show. Thank you. Bye.
Okay, everybody. This is a commodity stock, and all the commodities are getting hurt pretty badly. Axial Corporation manufactures chlorovinyls, aromatics, building products, including chlorine, caustic soda, vinyl chloride, that kind of stuff. It's a $2 billion company. It has a really good price of sales because the profit margins are probably pretty thin on it. They're going to make $1.07 this year. That's down from $1.31 last year. And then they're going to rebound next year, allegedly, to $2.57, which is a pretty big bounce. If they get that bounce, that means this stock, $28.98 stock, will only be about 11 PE, which makes it very good. 5-year range is 7 to 38. Today it's 21. Pays a decent dividend of 2.2. The trick is it's still falling. The stock is still falling. It bounced up a little bit today, but everything bounced up a little today. It's still in a downward trend. You want to wait till it breaks that downward trend. And one way to do that is wait for it to break up and break the 20-day moving average. You know, break up and break through it, if that's a short-term moving average. There's different ways to wait for it to. Right now it's in a downward trend. You don't want to try to catch a falling knife. Let the knife fall, settle down, then start back up again. Then you want to invest in it. But it's a good, solid company. Not too much debt. It's a good, solid company. Not too many people have heard of it, but it's a good company. There's nothing wrong with it. Sales have been slowing down. So I'm not sure why they think the earnings are going to almost double next year when sales have been slowing down. I'm a little concerned with that. But management owns 2%. Mutual funds are net sellers in the last year. That's never good. 888, that's Axel, AXLL. 888-99-CHART. Okay, let's talk about durable goods. That report came out yesterday, and it was a pretty good report, better than expected. The expectation was for durable goods to increase 2.6%. The month before, it fell 2.2%. So it's go from minus 2.2 to plus 2.6, but the actual number for June came in up 3.4%. Much better than expected. I like durable goods, even though it's a backward-looking indicator, because if you can delve into it, and it tells you whether or not companies are increasing their spending on products they need to make themselves more efficient or to stay up on competition, and it tells you a little bit about their comfort level. Because there's durable goods, there's those things that last 3 years or longer, usually, in other words, expensive things, and they're willing to spend money on expensive things, kind of makes you think that they think the economy is going to do well. Pending home sales will be out tomorrow. I always like to look at the home sales as well. Remember the new construction numbers were weaker than they by 10% or so than they expected last week. So looking at the pending home sales is going to be interesting. We'll see how that does. And consumer confidence was down to 90 in July from 99. This is 91 from 99.3, but, you know, close enough. Consumer confidence, always something that I'm not that keen on, simply because you're talking to a consumer who's kind of is influenced by what's going on in the headlines out there. It might be influenced by the Chinese stock market collapsing. Therefore, oh my God, I don't have very much confidence. But they still doesn't really tell you if they really are spending or not. And really, that's the important part of our economy, is it not? How much is the consumer spending? Is that increasing, decreasing? Well, to tell you that consumer spending is doing okay, but not great. Just doing okay. Okay, so we'll look for those numbers. I always pay attention to consumer spending kind of numbers. But consumer confidence, I've never been able to get a real solid handle of whether what they think they're going to do and they actually do. We're out of time for today. A quick reminder of my date for portfolio checkups. I'll be in San Jose August 4th. To save your spot, just go to investtalk.com, click on the schedule a meeting. Our office will be back to you. They will, to set up a time with me. I'm financial advisor Steve Peasley for Justin Klein and everyone at KPP Financial. Thank you for listening today. I hope you have a good evening, and let's meet up again tomorrow.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for listeners to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. Steve Peasley and Justin Klein are principals of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, which retains all rights.